time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, January 5th, 2021. We have about a dozen vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have a small craft advisory in effect through this morning, and then a gale watch in effect from this morning through late tonight. South winds 30 to 35 knots today, rising to 30 to 40 knots in the afternoon with gusts as high as 45. Combined seas will be 22 feet, with a dominant period of 17 seconds, a chance of showers in the morning and then rain in the afternoon. And this evening, we have combined seas of 28 feet, with a dominant period of 11 seconds, subsiding to 25 feet at 15 seconds after midnight. So we're going to see those sea heights above 20 feet. And whenever you see that in the forecast, it means that ship traffic will be severely impaired, if not stopped altogether, as far as coming across the Columbia River Bar. The bar has been on yellow status for the past few days, which means that ships are sort of, each ship is evaluated by the bar pilots and the Coast Guard to see whether the ship is really capable of handling the difficult conditions at the mouth of the river. They look at an individual ship and say, okay, this ship is seaworthy enough to handle these conditions. This ship might have to wait a little bit. But when the sea heights get above 20 feet, it just becomes too dangerous to bring ships in out of the deep ocean into the relatively shallow confines of the river where they could conceivably hit bottom at the bottom of a deep, tall wave, which then becomes a deep wave. The troughs can be a real problem for ships in a confined area. Also, it's just much harder to steer a vessel when everything is just flying in all directions and the wind and the waves, and it is just quite chaotic out there. So it's going to be that kind of a day and evening on the Columbia River Bar. And we can expect that tomorrow morning, if those seas have not calmed down enough, that ship traffic may be delayed on into the morning tomorrow. So we'll just have to see what happens. On today's ship schedule, we have a mix of primarily bulk carriers, 8 bulk carriers, 1 container ship, and 2 car ships. And the most likely ships to be allowed to come into the river will be the container ship and the car ship, because they generally have more powerful engines than the bulk carriers do. So we have 3 inbounders, we have 4 in our Astoria anchorages, and we have 4 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river, we have those 3 ships coming in. They're all on weather permitting status, so we aren't quite sure when we're going to see them coming in. The Grand Race is arriving from Mexico. She's a car ship. She's got brand new Hyundais on board. She may be crossing the Columbia River Bar around noontime if the weather is good enough for her to make that crossing. The W Smash is arriving from China. She's a bulk carrier headed for the Astoria anchorage. We'll just have to see when she actually comes into the river. And the Triton is arriving from South Korea, also headed for Astoria's anchorage, and she is also on that weather-permitting status. And I bet all of these sailors are going to be so glad to get into the river after being out there in those difficult conditions. In our Astoria anchorage, we have the Kirin Caribbean. She is leaving the Astoria anchorage, scheduled to leave at about 4 a.m., heading up to Longview to, I think, maybe pick up logs. And ships in the anchorage may not be directly affected by the weather, but sometimes they have to wait because the upriver ships can't leave their berths to come downriver until the weather improves. We have the Bright Wind awaiting orders and the Master awaiting orders. They'll head upriver when their berths open up for them. And outbounders, we have the Chesapeake Highway. She's a car ship with Toyotas on board, scheduled to leave Portland at about 3 p.m. If she does, she'll pass Astoria outbound around 9 p.m. And the Octobreeze Island is scheduled to leave Portland around maybe 6:30 p.m. carrying wheat outbound. But then all these departures are estimates because of the weather. We'll just have to see what happens in terms of what ships you actually see going by today. Well, today we're going to go back to talking about how to anchor a ship, particularly in the waters off Astoria in the Columbia River. Most people know that when a ship stops in a place away from a dock in open water, it needs to drop an anchor to hold it in place. On ships, the physics of anchoring, like everything else in the maritime industry, is more complicated than it looks. If you see a ship anchoring, you can see that a very large object with prongs called flukes, the anchor, is usually hanging out of the hawse pipe on a chain over the water. And when the ship gets to the right spot, They lower that chain and anchor into the water, and it hits the bottom, and that is how the ship gets held in place. So you can maybe visualize maybe those prongs digging into those flukes digging into the river bottom to help hold the ship in place. That's how it works under certain conditions, when the current is very strong. But under less stressful circumstances, it's the weight of the chain attached to the anchor that does the bulk of the work. So we're talking about heavy, heavy chain, where each link weighs about 100 pounds, and there could be 1,000 feet of chain out for each ship. So the mass of the anchor and chain are almost hard to visualize. It's just so very heavy, and so is the ship. So we're talking about one impossibly heavy object, the anchor and chain, called the ground tackle, working with the water to keep the ship, another impossibly heavy object, in place and able to swing safely with the tide. When you really think about it, it's kind of mind-boggling. Here's Captain Theron Riggs talking about anchoring. He spent many years as a Columbia River bar pilot and a ship captain traveling all around the world, a tremendously knowledgeable person about so many things. Here's Captain Riggs.
As the tide slacks off, as the ebb tide slacks off and you're getting ready to swing, the ship, the strain just goes off the anchor and it's ship pretty much stays and moves ahead just a little bit. And you can see that in the angle of the chain with the water, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really, when it's ripping, it's called bar tight when the chain is straight out.
Mm.
When it's at a 45 degree angle, there's a moderate strain. These words are very technical too, very precise.
Mm.
Anyway, the precision of the language that's been developed over eons is super, super precise.
Mm.
Anyway, or it could be up and down, which means the chain is straight up and down. That's what happened as the current slacks off, the ebb tide slacks off. And then all of a sudden, the flood tide will start, the ebb will stop, and the flood tide starts, and it hits the stern of the ship and swings it around. But the chain on the bow, the anchor chain is holding the bow pretty much in the same place. The flood is pretty weak at that time, and it just has the effect of swinging the stern around right about where the bow stays in about the same place just because of the weight of the chain.
And that was Captain Theron Riggs, retired Columbia River bar pilot and ship's master. He was explaining a bit more about what it takes to anchor a huge ship here on the Columbia. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.